This conference is being recorded.
Hello, everyone. I think you probably just heard that little message that the conference is now being recorded. Welcome to our Monday night Heart Start to Your Week, a part of the offerings of a company I run called Fiera. My name is Sheva Kaur, and I'm the CEO of Fiera, and mostly just a deep appreciator of Fiera. Fiera is a word that we invented to define a great feeling in your heart, that feeling that you get when you're aligned with yourself and you just know without knowing how you know. There's an inner knowing. We like to say that Fiera is the opposite of stress. And these Heart Start to Your Week calls are a free service that we like to offer the community as a way to give back and as a way to create an oasis of positivity in the regular flow of our day-to-day lives. So the call is being recorded. I encourage you to ask questions and share stories if you like. Just need to know that when you do, those things are being recorded. If for some reason you have a question or something that you want to share with me that you wouldn't like to have recorded on this call, you can always reach us at Fiera by sending an email to either me directly, Sheva, which is S like Sam, H E V like Victor A, at Fiera, which is F like Fabulous, Y-E-R-A.com, or you can call us directly at 310-581-1507. And of course, for those of you who are listening to this as a downloaded recording, that would be a way that you can reach us with your questions or even your comments, which we also welcome. So we like to begin these Monday night little oases of positivity in the heart. And for those who think they might have background noise on the call who've just joined us, you can press star 6 on your phone, and that will mute out your background noise. And then if you want to call in or share something, you can just press star 6 again, and that will unmute you so that we can hear you. And so being that usually on these calls we have people from all over the world, as a matter of fact, calling in and coming from different time zones, different activities in their day, it's nice if we all just come together in the heart for a moment. So let's just take a second here at the beginning of the call to focus our attention on the area around our hearts, or actually focus attention on the area around your own heart. It might be hard to focus on everyone else's heart, being we don't even know where everyone else is calling in from. So just focusing attention on the center of your chest, the area around your heart. Some people like to feel their heartbeat there. Even I like to do that sometimes, to put my hand on my heart. And then allow the breath to come in slow, even breaths, while you maintain the focus of your attention on the area around your heart, as if the breath were coming in through the area around the heart and going out through the area around the heart. And since the theme of tonight's call is beauty, I'd like you to just take a moment as you're breathing in through the area around the heart and breathing out through the area around the heart, to connect with what beauty is to you. Maybe something in nature that's beautiful to you that you've appreciated, or a person, or a painting, a work of art. Connect to something for you that's beautiful. To me, I have an absolute weakness for red roses, especially the wild red roses that grow where I'm traveling right now in Nova Scotia, that early in the morning just have these little droplets of dew that refract rainbows. Those grab me. Whatever it is for you that connects you to a sense of beauty, and just breathe your appreciation for that in through the heart. And out through the area around your heart. I'm going to start by sharing with you a little bit about what Fiera is and why and how we do what it is that we do. And then we'll talk about tonight's topic, which is beauty and the battle of body image, a tyranny that nearly every woman I've ever met, befriended, been related to in my family, and not just women, actually. Nearly everyone I know has had body image stress of one sort or another. And so we're going to talk tonight about the power of the heart to overcome the drain that that type of stress is around body image and around self-consciousness and judgment about beauty, how that depletes our vitality, our physical vitality, our inspiration, our passion, our relationship to ourselves, but also our relationship to others. And we'll look at how the power of the heart can act as a source of transformation in those areas and bring true beauty into our lives and into our relationships and a deeper appreciation for ourselves. So Fiera is a company that is licensed by the Institute of Heart Math, well, actually licensed by Heart Math, LLC, which HeartMath was founded in 1991, a research institute and training company who they began to research the physiology of stress. And what they discovered is that positive feeling states, which we are calling Fiera, feeling states like appreciation, passion, joy, create a uniquely ordered rhythm in the heart, which facilitates many physiological changes from improved brain function, improved immunity, to synchronization in the nervous system and hormones, which alone balances 97% of all the rest of your body's functions. So this unique order in the heart rhythm spells increased energy and stamina, optimum weight, blood pressure, clearer thinking and decision-making, very often pain relief and reversal of many of the underlying causes of anxiety, depression, and stress, all without drugs or surgical intervention. So on most of our Fiera calls, people come to us for all different kinds of reasons. There are some who are struggling with stress or have loved ones who are, stressors including health challenges, pain, relationship problems, money issues, eating disorders, which certainly relates to tonight's topic for many, career transitions, addictions, obesity, again relating to tonight's topic for some, anxiety and depression. There are also people who join us who are not particularly aware that they suffer from any stress, but are looking to get the cutting edge in their performance. We work with Olympic athletes, high-level entrepreneurs and executives, people in the entertainment industry who want to have the leading edge and be able to access the zone where they feel on top of their game anywhere, anytime. And it turns out that the power of the heart gives us an access code to all of that. And so whatever brought you to the call tonight, and we will open up the forum towards the end to allow for questions and sharing. If any of you have, you know, want to just introduce yourselves, I always like to know who's here and, you know, what brought you here and what your interests and needs are. I welcome you, and I'm happy to say that I have yet to meet someone who has a heart who can't receive tangible benefits from learning more about it. So our mission here at Fiera is to bring more of the positive feeling state that we're calling Fiera into the world for individuals, for organizations, even for nations. We've trained governments in the tools from HeartMath to access this power of the heart to transform our health, our relationships, our lives, our interactions at a global scale. So we will introduce a little bit of the heart math science to you this evening, like a little hors d'oeuvre, an appetizer into what exactly is the science and physiology of feeling really great, and in this case, looking really great tonight, and what is it that gets in the way of that. And knowing those things empowers us with step-by-step processes that we can use to feel better more often and help others do the same. So there's 20 years or maybe 15 years of research now behind the science that explains the tools that we teach as well as the tools themselves, and I have about 13 years of experience working with these tools and with HeartMath and the power of my own heart directly, consciously. Obviously, we're not going to cover all that in 1 hour, but we will give you an appetizer, and then at the end of the call, for those who want more, we'll certainly share with you how you can dive into the full feast of what this is. I wanted to talk about beauty and the stress of body image tonight, because I've had a lot of personal experience with that, and recently had some profound shifts in my own struggle with body image and appearance that made this call particularly appealing to my heart. It's interesting because, you know, one of the ways that we respond to beauty in our culture is through our conditioning. Very interesting, right? If you go into some starving villages or villages where people have been starving to death in East Africa or third world countries or developing nations around the world, and you walk into those villages and you see that their perception of what beauty is completely different from our perception, and that in fact to them obesity is a sign of incredible beauty and health and well-being, because they're living in a place where starvation is a source of stress. And yet if you walk into, you know, North America, where obesity has become a huge problem and a collective health hazard, of course, the standards for beauty there, just in terms of our conditioning, we look at being thin somehow as being beautiful. And so just that fact alone introduces the fact and the idea that the old phrases like beauty is in the eye of the beholder are really true. And so the question arises, well, what is perception and where does it come from and what impacts it? Because beauty in the eye of the beholder has to do with our perceptions. And it turns out that our perceptions have a lot to do with our emotions and our heart rhythms. I'm sure that many of you on the call can relate to the fact that nothing much may have changed in your appearance, but you wake up one morning feeling on top, and you look in the mirror and you like what you see, and then maybe you get up on the wrong side of the bed the next day, or you have a fight with your spouse or your best friend, and you look in the mirror and you hate what you see. And it may be that not a lot has changed except your perception of what you're seeing. And so you could imagine that emotional states like anxiety or depression or anger create havoc in the heart rhythm, which would be as if you were watching, let's say, a beautiful love story, but the soundtrack is the soundtrack to a horror film. And so the rhythm that we're looking at life through determines in a large degree what it is that we see. And when we're looking through a chaotic, distorted heart rhythm, distorted by negative emotions, then what we see is also distorted. We don't see what's actually there. And so phrases like looking through the eyes of love, or I believe there's a biblical reference that says to love something is to know it or to see it fully. Well, this is because states of love and appreciation create order in the heart rhythm, which then synchronizes all of our perceptual references, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our toes. Every aspect of our being synchronizes itself around the conductor of our orchestra, the heart. And when the heart, receiving signals from the emotions of love and appreciation, beats this ordered rhythm, we see things through a clear, still viewfinder. We see what's actually there. And in seeing what's actually there, we have more capacity to see through to its essence. And in the absence of judgment, appreciate that essence for what it is and see the beauty inherent in all things. And it's not that I want to make this sound idealistic. This is practical and tangible. I've noticed in my own life, it's like the deeper I get into the heart, then the less I try to get milk out of silkworms and silk out of a cow. If you're trying to silk a cow, it becomes very frustrating, and the cow sure seems ugly and like it's being a pain in the butt. But if you recognize the value that's there, then it has its own inherent beauty. Same is true for each one of us as individuals. We have an essence at our core that is inherently beautiful in its own way. So if we look at conditioning, then cultural conditioning, which conditions us to believe that a certain set of features, let's say, if you're looking at a human being, is beautiful, and other features aren't, then that conditioning, which happens in a part of the brain, which we call the second brain or the midbrain, the amygdala, the emotional memory, and the function of that conditioning in terms of our physiology is really just a piece of survival technology. In other words, the part of our brain that can be programmed like a computer for pattern recognition, the intelligence of that pattern recognition programming is that, let's say we're walking through the forest one day with our cousin Jed, and a saber-toothed tiger comes along and eats Jed. If we want to survive the next day, it's a darn good thing if we can have pattern recognition and go, oh, saber-toothed tiger, scary, not good, run. Similarly, for the survival of our species, yes, hello?
Can you tell me how to mute?
Absolutely. Welcome to the call. Just press *6.
Okay, great. Thanks.
My pleasure. Yeah, those joined us perhaps a little late. *6 will meet you out of the call, and then if you have questions or you want to share a story when I'm done, *6 will unmute you so that we can hear you again. And for those who have maybe joined us recently, I welcome you to our Heart Start call. So what I've been speaking about is beauty and how the conditioned pattern recognition portion of the brain is actually conditioned to seek out beauty in a stereotypical sense for the survival of our species. So then beauty is designed in the perception of that part of the brain, not based on seeing the essence of something, but based on seeing how closely it matches a pattern that we are familiar with. Well, how does this relate to our own body image stress and the body image stress that we experience in relationships? Either because we don't feel attracted to someone that we actually love and care about, or they aren't attracted to us. That pattern recognition portion of the brain gets conditioned in all kinds of ways in modern times that can actually be distorted and unrelated to reality. So, for example, if you could think of baby ducks, and the first thing they see when they hatch is what they imprint on as mother. And they associate that with safety, with what we might call beauty, with what they're attached to. And so there's fun stories of, you know, farmers who have left their rubber boots by the eggs before they hatch, and the first thing the baby duck sees is a rubber boot, and it imprints on that as its mother, and as long as the farmer's wearing the rubber boot, the baby ducklings will follow him everywhere he goes. Well, this particular portion of the brain that is our mammalian brain, you might say, or the midbrain, has a similar pattern recognition function, which is useful to us, let's say, if as a toddler, we put our hand on a hot stove. Oh, we get burned. Pattern recognition, we won't do that again. But if we imprint upon a loving parent with certain physical characteristics as our version of beauty, or more likely than that, the magazine covers and television shows and movies that we're inundated with that have one very particular version of beauty that they're putting out most of the time. And that imprinting being fed into the pattern recognition portion of the brain then feeds that portion of the brain, which, by the way, is also related to sexual attraction and those types of things, feeds that portion of the brain a singular image which it then associates with beauty and rejects everything else. Well, why would that create stress? It can create stress for a lot of reasons. One being that we actually live in a much more, what's the word I'm looking for? A much more diverse expression of physicality in our world than just what's shown on TV or what our singular parents look like, our initial imprinting of familiarity or constant repetition of what we see. And so then, if for whatever reason our own body images are not a match for this pattern recognition in our minds, then what we end up with is an ideal image in the brain that conflicts with what we see in ourselves or another in reality. And that conflict in and of itself ladles on top of it emotional judgment or disappointment or insecurity, creates this dissonance in the heart rhythm, which then further distorts our perception of what we see. And not only that, releases stress hormones into our system. And when we have high levels of stress hormone, it causes early aging and ironically robs us of the very things that we talk about in our culture as beautiful, the radiance of our skin and our hair and our vital energy, our passion, the light in our eyes. All of these things come from inside being passionate, alive, and coherent in our hearts. So we've kind of set ourselves up as part of a larger picture of stress that we talk about a lot at Fiera, where old survival mechanisms in our physiology aren't really working in our modern lifestyle, where the struggle to survive is no longer our only day-to-day imperative, and we're living in an unprecedented time when we could actually thrive. We no longer have to run from saber-toothed tigers or chase down pheasants in the woods and hunt berries to make a living and to survive. We actually have our base survival needs for the most part taken care of, and we have an unprecedented opportunity to sink into the present moment joy of the heart, which would allow us then to see and recognize the beauty in all things rather than relate to them either from, I'm going to eat you, I'm going to run from you, I'm going to reproduce with you, mere survival alone, which limits our ability to see what's actually there. So I'll share a little bit of my own experience with this, because as I said, the issues of body image and beauty have touched me personally quite a lot. Being a redhead, it's some people may not realize this, but you know, in our culture, red hair is not one of those images that is in our day-to-day vision of beauty very much, just because it's uncommon. And so I encountered a lot growing up as a teenager and, you know, not getting invited to the prom and having many, many boyfriends who said to me, would say literally to my face, wow, I wish you were blonde. It'd be so perfect just if only you were blonde, or I wish you were like this, or I wish you were like that, because, you know, I mean, you're such a cool person, but you just don't look like my mom or like the people on magazine covers. And I'm sure everyone has their own little quirks that make them not look like the people on magazine covers, especially this day and age when everyone's airbrushed. I've worked now with so many models at Fiera, training them and, you know, come to understand a whole different point of view on this, because of course they're under constant stress to appear even the way that they do. And so whether you you're a match for the social conditioned pattern recognition of beauty or not, either way, it for many, it is a constant and chronic battle. And so I was also a ballet dancer when I was young, which meant, again, that so much of the attention, as it is in our culture, we become a very visually oriented culture, again, in large part, probably due to the media, I don't know, that's something that I'm just thinking as I speak out loud, but our visual orientation in this culture, and certainly as a dancer, meant that I was constantly looking at myself in this flat mirror in a dance studio, cramming myself into a two-dimensional image that was distorted because it didn't take into account the passion and the presence and the spirit of my heart that I brought to dance, which was really what made me a great dancer, not whether the line from my hip down to my toe was perfectly straight and showed no bulge in the muscle or no fat in the butt. But the obsession of us as dancers looking at ourselves in this distorted two-dimensional way was to become as thin as we possibly could. And some of you have listened to the calls I've done on eating disorders. I suffered from anorexia and bulimia for a good 10 or 15 years before I came to discover heart math and the power of the heart, which helped me end that distorted pattern recognition perception in my mind, see myself through the eyes of the heart, and begin to love and care for the whole of who I am, which naturally led me, for those who are parents who have children with eating disorders and are concerned, this naturally led me to want to feed and nourish myself. The irony there, of course, is that as soon as I did start doing that, my dancing improved, my appearance certainly improved because I was being fed and being cared for. And we know from heart math terms, not only does the food itself help heal our bodies and give us more vitality, more presence, more beauty, more luster, but the hormones that are released when we care for ourselves and when we are caring also add to that. So ironically, my dance career took off when my anorexia and eating disorders healed. Well, similarly, part of the thing that inspired me to bring this issue into our awareness is that I had an experience a couple of years ago where a person that I was dating at the time, again, had said to me, boy, I just wish you were blonde, and I wish you looked like a supermodel. Then you'd just be perfect. And, of course, one of the things that happens is when we have those tapes playing in our mind, they get repeated back to us from outside. So I got to see, oh, I guess I'm not done with this yet. And what I did was I used a heart math tool that we teach in the beginner workshop called the perception shift tool. When we speak about beauty being in the eye of the beholder, beauty is not only something visual, but something related to being able to see anything through the eyes of the heart, even events in life. I've found the deeper that you go into the heart, the more that you start to see the beauty in how life as a whole unfolds, even the challenges that life presents us. When you can shift perception using this perception shift tool that allows you to access the order in the heart and then the heart's intelligence to re-examine situations in a new way, brings an awareness of the beauty that those situations have, the unique elegance of the unfoldment of those situations that are just right for us to grow or to learn or to love more. So, I'm appreciating the beauty of my phones. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks for letting me know. I'm having some technical phone problems here in Nova Scotia, so I needed to change phones. So in that moment when I was confronted again with, oh, I just wish you looked different, Sheva, I went to my heart and I realized that I wished I looked different. And then in removing that judgment, again, using a tool that we teach in the Beginner Heart Math Workshop called Neutral, I was able to realize that I had brought all this attention on my appearance to myself because it had been me that was giving significance to myself in two dimensions. And the guidance from the intelligence in my heart was that rather than try to be beautiful, it didn't really matter whether I, this sort of optical delusion of a separate me, was beautiful. I could simply appreciate all the beauty that there was to appreciate around me in the world. And so I started making that my game, that whenever I started to feel ugly or self-conscious about my appearance or someone said something to me about that, I would shift attention to the area around my heart and appreciate the beauty around me in the world. And it started to occur to me, well, maybe I look the way I do because some people find me beautiful and I don't have to look at myself, so I can just appreciate what's out there. And what it did was it empowered me to have access to beauty anywhere, anytime, even if I didn't feel beautiful myself. But here's the remarkable thing that occurred. The day that that happened, and I just think this is a tongue-in-cheek little wink from the universe, a point of humor of some of the fun magic that can occur as you start to recognize that life could be a joyful video game between you and your own heart, where the power to transform negativity in yourself and in others using applied heart intelligence, love, and care. Then begins this marvelous feedback from life itself in the video game that you're playing, where life brings you confirmation of your little wins as you go. So as I was appreciating the beauty in others and truly transforming my own self-judgment, self-hatred, and judgment towards other people for judging me and the whole mess, stress that all of that body image battle creates, I walked through my entire day just appreciating the beauty that I could see anywhere. And I was inspired that day by Viktor Frankl. I don't know how many of you know Viktor Frankl. He was one of the few to survive Auschwitz, a Nazi concentration camp during the Holocaust, for many, many years. And he wrote books after the end of the war explaining how it was that he was able to survive one of the greatest stressors that has ever encountered, that a human being has ever encountered. And one of the things that he did, and we're getting some background noise, by the way, from someone's computer. So if that's you, you might just want to *6 your phone, which will mute that out so it won't distract people from the call. So Viktor Frankl would sit. He said he made a commitment to himself in the concentration camp that he would sit with everything he saw and not move, not waver, until his heart could see beauty in it. Now, most of us will never have to face the degree of terror or ugliness that he had to in a concentration camp. But if he can do it in that circumstance, we can certainly do it with our own vanity about our cellulite or our own irritation with a person that has rubbed us the wrong way. So I leveraged the inspiration of Viktor Frankl and the heart math tools I had learned on this day to just appreciate the beauty in everything I saw. And I appreciated the beauty of nature. I appreciated the beauty of an old woman and her the compassion and the wisdom in her eyes. I appreciated the tenacity of a screaming child who wanted ice cream and their passion for what they wanted. I sat with things until I saw beauty in them, and I also appreciated the beauty in things I had overlooked. And a remarkable thing happened to me that day, which may seem a bit irrelevant to some of you who are listening, but for me it was a real heart win inside, in that four men, and men rarely ask me out, but on this particular day that I had done this, four men came up to me independent of each other, one in a grocery store who wrote his phone number on the back of a receipt in the health food store saying, "You are so beautiful. I'd like to call your parents and thank them for giving you their genetics." And, of course, this wasn't something I'd experienced before, and I realized it made it so clear to me that everything that's cliche in our language about beauty coming from within is really true, and that to be beauty is really the power to see beauty. And in seeing and appreciating beauty, and we don't even need our eyes to recognize it, then we become the beauty that we're appreciating. And to me, the heart math science explains how this is, that beauty, in many ways, is symmetry and order. And that when we recognize, appreciate, and love beauty around us, our appreciation of it in and of itself makes us more beautiful, because it creates this order in the heart rhythm that then affects everything else about us, from how we look at the world to how we look to the world. And so knowing that this issue of the battle of body image and the obsession over beauty is something that is almost taboo to me in our culture, in the sense that we buy into it wholeheartedly. We allow magazines and movies and television to tell us we need to look a certain way in order to belong, in order to feel well in our hearts. And in fact, the feeling well, the sense of belonging, the love and appreciation of life comes first. And when you know how to access that, beauty, no matter what we look like, is a natural extension of who we are. And being able to access that can alleviate a great deal of stress for ourselves and our loved ones. You know, I have a lot of compassion for the men who I used to date who would say those things to me, because they would actually come to me in desperation, like, I'm sorry, I feel so bad. I see who you are. I'm not conditioned this way. And heart math is a way out for people stuck in that as well, so that we don't have to be owned by rubber ducky or rubber boot duck conditioning, but we can rather make conscious choice to love and to be loved. I want to open up the call here before for a few minutes before we close, to see if anyone else has questions or any stories of your own experience in this regard that you'd like to share. And if you do, just make sure that you *6 unmute yourself before you start to share so we can hear you.
I have a story, Sheva.
Great.
Well, first of all, I love your hair. And my sister had black curly hair that she hated, that she was teased of horribly. Kids asked her terrible questions about her hair, asking if she was a bastard child and awful, awful things. And her little girl got her hair, and she is gorgeous. I'm going to send you a picture to appreciate her.
Great.
One of the things before I met my fiancé that I became very clear that I wanted in a man was someone who could see great beauty in most people, someone who just respected almost everyone and rarely ever thought anyone looked ugly. I didn't want to sit next to anyone who ever said anything ugly about any of my friends. I didn't want to be someone that they thought was okay, but so many other people weren't, because any moment I might become unacceptable, living on the brink of unacceptable and constantly trying to maintain being okay. And the irony is that I got very sick right after I started dating him and gained 20 pounds, and I was never not okay. And it was such a reflection of myself to be with someone who was so kind to me because I got what I asked for. I got someone who saw great beauty all the time and rarely put anyone down and dated all sorts of different looks and different races and different appearances and women and women of every color and size and shape and thought they were all beautiful because he wanted someone who was loving before he decided to marry me. But what was most difficult for me was to accept that part of me needed to be extra special and what a huge shift had to be made in me to quit needing to learn how not to live on the brink of acceptable and to learn that I really was. And also to learn to accept that he had smaller hips than me was, like, really difficult for me. And it's so silly. And now it's not a challenge. And I think that the power of heart is definitely all in that. And everything you've said today is relevant in terms of who you're being and what you find attractive and also how who you are and who that attracts to you.
Mm-hmm. All so well said. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I think you really stated it well that, you know, even the people I work with who do match whatever society or their own version of beauty is are living with the constant fear of being on the brink of being unacceptable. That was so eloquently put, and that creates stress. And that stress ages us, and that stress compromises our quality of life and love with one another, and it doesn't need to. We can look at each other, our lives, through the power of the heart. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing, Rebecca.
Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to either ask a question or share a story? Coming up on September 2nd, we have an all-day beginner heart math workshop in Los Angeles. And some of you were on our call last Tuesday night, which began the beginner webinar, which will continue tomorrow night. If anybody is interested in either of those, we can just tell you briefly. That's another way, obviously, to dive into the full feast of what this is, the power of the heart. We mentioned some of the tools tonight that the class covers. In addition to the tools that we mentioned, the class covers a special communication tool for being able to communicate with one another when this occurs. It's funny, I'm chuckling because it reminds me that there was a time when I was with a man and we were driving in a car together. We'd just begun dating. And he said to me that he really hated it when you know, he had the experience of really liking a person but just not being attracted to them. And that was the only sentence he got out of his mouth, and I was on a rampage. I was ready to turn the car around. I was yelling at him. I was saying this world is so stupid and people are so ignorant, and I went on. I must have gone on for about an hour. Clearly, I was not using the communication tool that we teach in the beginner workshop. I just lost it. Until finally, an hour into it, when I must have, like, lost wind or needed a drink of water or something, and he was able to get a word in edgewise, in which he used to very meekly say, "Well, I wasn't saying that about you." And a perfect example of how stress and this pattern recognition portion of the brain can interrupt our communication, miscommunication being the number one cause of relationship splits. A divorce rate of over 50% in our culture, as well as, according to Harvard Business Review, the number one cause of loss of profits in corporations. So we offer in this course as well a special tool for how to bring that order in the heart, that order to our perceptions in direct communication with others, even irregardless of whether they know the tools or not. And then some tools that help us reset the baseline of our nervous system so that the heart, the clear perception, the loving response to life becomes our default setting, our default mode. And for those who don't know, HeartMath also has a biofeedback technology, by the way, which helps with this, called the M wave. It was really the M wave that helped me overcome my eating disorder, because getting on the M wave and having a mirror, I'm so used to having the reference point of a mirror to be my guide from being a dancer, of course. And so having a fully dimensional mirror, one that's mirroring my heart rather than just my appearance, really was the turning point for me in being able to access my own feelings as a reference point for how to care for myself rather than just a two-dimensional image of who I thought I was in distortion. So the M-Wave usually comes with the beginner workshop, but you can also get the M-Wave by itself. Excuse me. And for those who are interested in more information about the M-Wave, you can either go to our website, which is www.fiera, again, F like fabulous, Y-E-R-A.com, or you can go to, I believe HeartMath has a website specifically on the M-Wave, which is E as in elephant, M as in Mary, W-A-V like victory, E-M-Wave.com. So you can also check that out there. And by the way, for those who would like to hear this call again, it is being recorded and will be uploaded within a day or two to our website, where you can go and hear probably 15 or 20 of these previous HeartStart calls on many different topics. If you go to www.fiera.com/heartstart.html. That's www.fiera.com/heartstart.html, and you can listen to the previously recorded HeartStart calls. On the homepage of the Fiera site, you can also sign up if you're not already receiving reminders about these free calls and summaries of what they cover. And again, for those who have joined us since we began, you, if you have further questions or want to share stories of your own, we like to post stories, success stories of the heart on our website as well. You can write to me directly, Sheva, S like Sam, H, E, V like Victory, A, at Fiera.com, or you can call us directly here at Fiera at 310-581-1507. Anybody else have anything they want to ask or anything they want to add before we close up the call for tonight?
Sheva, you are beautiful.
Is that Darshan?
Yeah, it is.
Hey.
I've been traveling a lot. I miss you. But, oh, man, when I met you, you know, I just looked at you. We were sitting right up front, I think, at a Gangaji event. And, you know, Gangaji's beautiful, and she's sitting in all the lights. And here you are with this red hair that just knocked me out of my socks. And you are so vital. I think I thought you were 20-something years old, you know, just 22, 23. And, Sheva, you're so beautiful. You radiate that so wonderfully. And this call tonight is just, really, really good name. HeartStart is so beautiful. Thank you for sharing this tonight. And when you sent this picture to me that I asked you for so I could hang it on my wall in the Satsang Hall, you sent a black and white. I was infuriated. Where's the red hair? I want the red hair.
Well, I'll have to send you another one in full red vibrancy.
Oh, yeah. You're here right now. I'm looking at you, but it was a black and white. And I had told all my friends about you, so this picture was coming. I whip it out, and oh, no.
That's hilarious, Darshan.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. I'll email you some red-headed shots.
Thank
a perfect
you.
Example of the fact that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? And Rebecca shared so beautifully of her boyfriend, her fiancé, that there's that potential for all of us to see the beauty in all. And what the real gift that is a gift to ourselves, because then we get to appreciate so much more. So I'm delighted to hear you back, Darshan. Good to hear your voice.
Yes. Thank you so much for these calls, Shiva.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Anybody else want to add anything? Well, let's close the call the way we began, at the end of our Heart Start calls, the finish to the Heart Start. We like to pay it forward. So just again, shifting attention to the area around the heart, taking a breath in through the area around the heart and out through the area around the heart. Again, appreciating maybe the beauty in something you heard tonight or the beauty in the world around you. And radiate that sense of beauty to someone that you think needs it, whether they need to feel it in themselves or whether they need to receive the gift of recognizing that in their world. Just saying that to all of you reminds me of a time when I lived in a war zone and we were surrounded by violence and death. And I remember a soldier who was covered with mud and military fatigues, and beauty was really not at the top of our minds. I was a teenager working with children in this war zone, and he found a tropical flower in the jungle at the side of this muddy road. And this man carrying two machine guns and a machete bent over and picked up this little tropical flower. And in that ugliness, his momentary appreciation of that beauty moved me to tears. So beauty can be found everywhere, and in a way is in and of itself our appreciation of beauty. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight, and I look forward to our Heart Start call together next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Shiva.